In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we have three readings from the Gospels, because today is the feast day of the Nativity, the birth of the Theotokos, the birth of Mary, the Mother of God. And also, next weekend is the Sunday of the Elevation of the Cross. And so this is the Sunday before the Elevation of the Cross. And then there is the regular reading from the Gospel. Why is Mary important? Mary is important because she is the one whose body gave flesh to the Son of God. There was a heresy in ancient times that said that the Son of God passed through Mary like water through a pipe and came into the world. That his passing through her had no effect on her. She had no effect or influence on him, on his body, on his coming into the world. She was just a pathway through for the Son of God. And why is that a heresy? It is a heresy because God took on our flesh, and he took on our flesh the same way any other human being takes on flesh from their mother. God chose to be born into this world as one of us. Just as any one of us is born, so he was born from a woman. And when the Son of God was conceived inside of the womb of Mary, it was her body, just like the body of any other mother, that gave flesh to his body, that he might be born a human being in the world. That is how the children of men and women are born. And that's how he was born. He took his flesh from his mother. And it was our flesh. It was human flesh, just like mine, just like yours, just like that of any human being that has ever been born in the world. And he did that because he came into the world in order to take the fullness of our humanity on himself, so that the one that was born, Jesus the Christ, is both fully God and fully human. Fully human in this real and genuine way. Actually human like any other human being, except for one thing. There was in him no sin. Having sin is not part of what makes us human. It is possible for there to be a human being without sin. And he is not just still human by being without sin. He is fully human. All that a human being is meant to be. All that any of us is meant to be. That is what was lost in the garden. It's what is restored in Christ. The fullness of our humanity is seeable, touchable, experienceable in him. He is fully God, and he has our full and perfect humanity as it is meant to be, as we can be through him, by cooperation with him. That is salvation. Salvation is being able to live our lives fully and completely, not dominated by fear or lust or desire for power or for the things of this world, but being able to live our lives fully and completely through Christ. That's why he came into the world, in order to free us from fear, in order to free us from death. That's why the Theotokos is important. That's why the birth of the Theotokos is important. That's why we have feasts that we devote to her, because we are celebrating our humanity in the one who gave birth to the Savior, who saves us in this not just spiritual way, but physical way also. The physical living of our life from day to day as we interact with other human beings. Husbands and wives and brothers and sisters, neighbors and children, all part of our salvation. Because living in our flesh, living in bodies of flesh and blood, is part of the fulfillment that God has made possible in Christ. He took on our humanity, and we are able to join ourselves to his perfect humanity. That's why he was born into the world. That's why it is important that he was born from a human being, the Theotokos, the mother of God, incredible as those words are. One of the readings that we heard today had to do with the raising of the copper serpent in the wilderness. And this is recorded in the book of Numbers. Moses was traveling with the people of Israel through the desert, and they were grumbling and complaining about how much better things had been for them in Egypt before he had led them out of bondage into the desert. They were wanting to go back, grumbling and complaining. And suddenly they were set upon by serpents. There were serpents everywhere, and they were all getting bitten. And Moses went to God and asked him what to do. And God told him, make a serpent out of copper and hold it up on a staff and have all of the people look at that brass serpent. And those who look at the brass serpent will be safe from the bite of the serpents. And those who refuse to look at the serpent will continue to be bitten and die. And those who looked on the serpent were saved from the bites of the serpents that were everywhere, and those who didn't and refused died. Now there is the explanation of this that we are given when we are children. There was a little church that I used to walk to when I was a little boy in Springmount, Pennsylvania. It had been a vacation community, but people came in, bought the houses up, and then they were all full of people who were living there all year. It was a nice place to live, you know. There weren't paved roads there when I was a child. It was this yellow crushed gravel. Really neat stuff. You know, you could break it up, look for fossils, things like that. And I would walk out of my parents' driveway and down the yellow gravel road to a small non-denominational church in the summer for Bible school. And the kind of explanation of this passage that you would get there would go like this. The serpents in the desert stand for or represent the sins of the people of Israel. The serpent that was put on the pole represented how important it was for them to look at their own sins. Our sins are put on the cross with Jesus, and we need to look at Jesus on the cross and remember our sins and ask forgiveness, because when Jesus dies on the cross, our sins go away. That was the explanation that I would have been given as a child at that little non-denominational church down the road. But there is another explanation. It is the ancient Christian explanation in all of its fullness. In the reading that we heard today, Christ is reminding the apostles of this serpent lifted up in the wilderness. So will the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus, the Christ, is lifted up on the cross. One of our icons, the icon of St. Basil the Great, you can read that explanation. The explanation is this. When Christ was lifted up on the cross, death was destroyed from the cross. The problem of sin is the problem of death. Every sin is a little death. Every sin that we commit is because of our fear of death. The problem is death. God came into the world in the fullness of our humanity and his divinity in order to destroy death, so that we would have a weapon against sin, so that we would not be at the mercy of death, so that we would be able to fully live our lives, not afraid of death, not controlled by the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world. That is the Christian faith. That is the Christian teaching. It's not just about our being forgiven of our sins so that nothing bad happens to us after we die. It deals with the fact that in this world that we live in, there is suffering and death everywhere. If you don't see enough of it in America, go to Africa, go to India, go to Asia, go to Syria, go to Egypt. Life is cheap in most parts of the world. Mothers hold dying children. In the United States of America, we are rich. We are the most powerful country in the world. And we have a kind of wall around us to protect us from the rest of the world. We have everything that we need, and we need to keep all of those who want what we have out. That's why we have to have all those secret programs to make sure we know what the rest of the world is doing. Because we have everything that we need so that we don't have to admit the presence of suffering and death in the world. What is normal? Normal life is for me not to have any suffering or death or sin that I am forced to look at. I come up with versions of Christianity where I don't confront the fact that there are serpents of sin and death inside of me. I never have to deal with them. I believe in Christ in such a way that I never have to confront the fact that I have sin within myself and a fear of death that causes me to sin 1,000 times a day, dealing with others in ways that are unjust, cruel, mean, selfish, filled with vanity, putting myself first, and let everything else fall where it may. I want to have my own will, my own way. I want to have other people fall into line with how I would like to have things be. Like the grumbling Israelites in the desert, I want to have everything be about my enjoyment of the things of this world. That's what our life is like in America. But the norm isn't not to have any suffering and death in your life. The norm has always been and is today, outside of this little island of rich prosperity, where people feed themselves in abundance to the loss of the rest of the world, outside of this little island of prosperity. The reality of life is today as it has always been. There is great suffering. There is great death. Right now in Syria, Christians in communities that have been in that part of the world since the time of St. Paul the Apostle are suffering because of the chaos in that country. It is our responsibility, certainly, to pray for an end to that suffering, to send, if we can, relief to help them out. But there is also this. It is our responsibility as Christians to be inspired by their suffering. It is for us as Christians to have our efforts to overcome sin within ourselves joined to these martyrs for Christ who are standing for Christ against the fear of death, as we ought to be doing in our daily lives, so that we would be transformed, because we don't have to be afraid of the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world. As Christians, we have been given a weapon to be able to destroy the power of death over us, so that our humanity becomes more and more every day strong in the purity of Christ, who has the perfection of our humanity. He has freed us from that fear of death, but we don't take advantage of it. We don't live that life that has been given us to live. Instead, we come up with our own private versions of Christianity where we don't have to do anything at all. And we can just stay exactly the way we were before. And we talk about Christ, and we talk about salvation, and we talk about sin, and we talk about repentance, and we go through the motions, but nothing changes in us. How is it supposed to change? When Moses was speaking to God, Moses was afraid that the Pharaoh wouldn't listen to him. And so God asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" And Moses said, "It is a rod." And God told him, "Throw the rod down onto the ground." And he threw the rod down, and it turned into a snake. And Moses was afraid of the snake and turned and ran away from it. And God told him, "Take the snake by the tail and pick it up." And Moses obeyed him, and the snake turned back into a rod, a weapon that he could use to help him walk through the desert and the fearful places. In the Ladder of Divine Ascent, St. John Climacus says that sometimes he falls into a very dangerous sin. And since he doesn't want a dangerous serpent in his heart, lying there, waiting to get him to do something that he ought not to do, he deals with it in this way, the same way that Moses dealt with the snake at God's command. He takes hold of the serpent. He takes hold of that sin that is in his heart. And John says he finds that it becomes a physician. In every sin, there is the possibility of healing. In every sin, there is the possibility of transformation. The tail of each sin that we can take hold of it by is a virtue Because every sin has an opposite virtue. And when we are plagued by some sin, we can take hold of that sin by the virtue and repent of the sin, whatever it happens to be. We think repentance means admitting that we've done something wrong, God forgives us, and then we go back into the world unchanged the way we were before. That explanation that I was given at the little church down the crushed gravel road when I was a child. But that's not it. It's a matter of being changed. It's a matter of being transformed. It's a matter of having salvation in our lives ongoing, changing each time there is some serpent within us. And there are so many, all of those that I mentioned before. Lust, desire for power, desire for others to look up to us, desire to have control over others and have them admire us, to have us at the center of things. All of those are serpents within us, and each one of them we can take by the tail, by the opposite virtue, and lift it up, and it will be transformed to be a staff of virtue, a weapon to help us on our way. That transformation has got to take place. Asking forgiveness for a sin is not just a matter of being forgiven for the sin by God. God will forgive us, but we need to work along with Him in order to transform the serpents, the vices within us, into virtues. That's what God has made it possible to do, and it all has to do with holding up the Son of Man on the tree, the raising up of Christ on the cross. We wear crosses, crucifixes, signs of Christ on the cross, because the cross is a sign of life. The cross is a sign of the transformation of death into resurrection and new life. That is the message that we've been given. Life is possible in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.